From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, it's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman, sitting in for Steve Kerwin. It was just 2 years ago, August 29th, 2005. Hurricane Katrina took aim on the Gulf Coast of the United States.
This is the eye wall. We're in the eye wall. There's a surge. Oh, my God.
Katrina was one of the most powerful, costly, and deadly storms to strike the United States. The most severe loss of life was in New Orleans. 80% of the city was underwater. But much, if not most, of the deaths and destruction were due not to the natural disaster, but human failure. There have been three major engineering investigations into the city's catastrophe. They generally agree that New Orleans' system of levees was poorly designed and built by the Army Corps of Engineers. But Michael Grunwald, a senior correspondent for Time magazine, who covered the Corps for the 6 years before Katrina struck, goes even further. He says the Corps and Congress are directly responsible for the disaster.
You know, I think after Hurricane Katrina, you know, the levees broke in just, you know, it was a split second and nobody was watching. And then for a week we got to watch this paralyzed response, and everybody saw that. But the fact is, if the levees hadn't busted, you never would have heard the phrase, heck of a job, Brownie. You never would have had the squalor in the Superdome. And if the levees had been designed and constructed properly and the Army Corps of Engineers had done its job, it really wouldn't have been a big deal for the city.
Well, your story in Time magazine really is a scathing indictment of the Corps. And you write that the Corps is still a Corps of Engineers and not a Corps of Ecologists. What do you mean by that?
You know, the Army Corps is a strange beast. You know, it began building fortifications at Bunker Hill and George Washington's Revolutionary Army. But it really sort of, it's best known and what really has been its bread and butter is sort of damming and diking rivers, you know, pouring sand onto beaches. Essentially, they've been the shock troops in America's war against nature. And so, now we're trying to count on them to sort of build sustainably, to help restore some of the mistakes they've made in the past. But I think, you know, it still is, they're engineers. They, you know, their motto is essayons, let us try. And they still like to move dirt and pour concrete.
But haven't they made any progress towards, you know, freeing up the Mississippi in terms of, you know, sediments and building up land, coastal protection?
Well, no. They really haven't. You know, over the years, they've, you know, reduced the sediment load that's coming down the Mississippi River by more than half. And that sediment used to essentially, that's how southern Louisiana was built, from the Mississippi River. New Orleans was built on a natural levee, sediment deposited by the river. And it created 7,000 square miles of coastal wetlands that used to provide this natural buffer that separated New Orleans from the Gulf. And as the Army Corps sort of throttled that river and manhandled it into a ditch, and has really stopped that natural land-building process, you have the city starting to sink, and that's why it's this city in a bowl below sea level instead of sitting up high on the natural levee, and those coastal wetlands have started to disappear. And that's what really left New Orleans so exposed. You don't hear, New Orleans was not originally a coastal city. It was an inland city. But the fact is that the Gulf has now moved about 20 miles closer to the city, and some of the scientists are saying that in 10 years it's going to be at the New Orleans suburbs.
Well, in one of your most recent articles, actually, you cite an LSU hydraulic engineer who points out that about 100 yards of cypress trees can reduce, you know, the wave action there by about 95%. If scientists understand what needs to be done along the Gulf Coast, why isn't that work well underway at this point?
Yeah, it's you know, what happened to during Hurricane Katrina was in many ways the tragedy of priorities. You know, everybody knew that wetlands are important. Everybody knew that that New Orleans was vulnerable, but it was never anybody's top priority to make sure that this didn't happen. And so that's why you have, you know, Louisiana's congressional delegation at a time when, you know, they never could get the Corps to build decent levees for New Orleans and never really did get a decent restoration program going for those coastal wetlands. You had these incredible boondoggles were still getting funded, like the Mississippi River Gulf Outlet, which is supposed to provide a kind of shipping shortcut to the port of New Orleans, but actually ended up increasing Katrina's surge and contributing to the disaster. So again, it's the Corps is this strange beast that's kind of controlled by Congress. You hear a lot about these earmarks, and the entire Corps budget almost is controlled by these congressional earmarks. It's pet projects, and the pet projects were not the projects that made New Orleans safe.
So improper influence, political influence, influencing the setting of priorities.
Well, I think what the Corps would say, and there's some fairness to it, is that they reflect America's priorities, that America never made it a top priority. I think it's not entirely true because, first of all, the Army Corps has a lot of influence on what it gets to do, and it doesn't do anything until it says, hey, this is a justified project. But the fact is America never stood up and said, you know, our top priority is to make sure that New Orleans is never drowned by a moderate hurricane. And unfortunately, we still haven't really said that. So far, there's been $7 billion appropriated for the Corps down there. And, you know, just chicken change has gone for any rebuilding of wetlands. It's still going to take another 4 years for the Corps just to provide protection from what they say is a 100-year storm. And you know, these 100-year storms seem to be coming every few years now. So the city is still extremely vulnerable, and the work is going pretty slow.
So you don't sound like there's any chance for things to go right.
Well, I wouldn't say that because, maybe I'm just a perpetual optimist. But when you talk to the scientists, I don't want to understate the difficulty of the challenge, but they say that they know what to do. You know, and that it can be done. It's just a question of, getting Congress and the Corps to do it. Essentially, you want to stop building levees across marshes. You want to stop promoting development in the most flood-prone areas. And you want to start trying to get that sediment down to the Gulf. Unfortunately, right now, Congress is about to approve the first sort of set of post-Katrina projects, and the big one does exactly the opposite. It's another billion-dollar levee through marshes. They're starting to call it the Great Wall of Louisiana. This is to protect these isolated coastal towns that you've never heard of with names like Dulac and Covan and Montague. And these are places that may already be doomed. And by building them these $15 million a mile levees, you're essentially telling people, don't elevate your houses, don't move to higher ground, the government's going to take care of you. And it suggests that the lessons of Katrina have not been learned.
Michael, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Michael Grunwald is a senior correspondent for Time magazine.